Welcome back, everyone, to Equity Develop. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted today to have special guest Bob Vale, founder and CEO of ClearStar, that's ticker CLSU, with me, a leading US background screening provider and medical testing firm. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning.
I guess the $64 million question, given that the business delivered strong organic growth over the last 3 years of sort of double digits, and then it hit COVID in the spring, how is the business now faring up given that the US is reopening and businesses are now starting to get back to work?
Well, Paul, there's really three areas that we look at when we measure how we're transitioning from last year into dealing with the challenges of this year. One, we've been able to maintain our current customer base. We haven't lost a customer due to COVID. Their volume has certainly dropped because companies went into either austerity or some level of protection, which cut their hiring. But it's good that we've maintained those customers. Two, we have seen just recently a uptick in correspondence with customers and prospects. That's including the commitments that we had last year, which never materialized because of COVID. None of those have gone away. We haven't seen anyone stop screening or go out of business. And then the most important part is we're starting to see traction again in the economy. Based on a surge for hiring, based on retail numbers, based on financial institutions re-engaging. The construction industry is starting to re-engage. So things look pretty promising right now. We're seeing an uptick in just about every sector.
And how would you see that sort of panning out for the sort of the next 3, 6, 9 months? I mean, I know it's a finger in the air and nobody knows, but given where we are, and the interest from the customers, and you haven't lost any, you've only been gaining contracts. How do you see that pan out over the next sort of like, you know, 9 months or 12 months?
Well, again, true, it's hard to judge where that's going to take us. And we have two things that we're concerned about. Again, where COVID's going and potentially the second wave of COVID. And then certainly in this country, coming into the fourth quarter, a presidential election, and both of those will have impact on business sentiment. But right now, we're pretty comfortable with the way things are going. Again, we're seeing a pretty consistent interaction rate with prospects and customers. RFPs have not slowed down. We're getting calls from existing customers on needing support or some type of information on how to reconstitute their businesses or what type of action. So all these are promising indicators in the face of what is potentially going to be probably one of the greatest challenges in a business decision role that managers of these small businesses have to make.
Okay. And you mentioned the vertical of construction. In the U.S., eventually approved, and certainly in terms of Congress and President Trump, there seems to be a lot of support for this $1 trillion infrastructure bill. Would that be a net positive for the likes of ClearStar?
Well, anything that's going to impact customer base is going to be a positive. I mean, one of the things that I don't think a lot of analysts look at is, though this is an unprecedented downturn in business, some people call it a depression, the banks were very well funded. So we came into a situation where there was a lot of money available. There was a lot of money in play that had been invested. We were at a peak in construction in the United States. We were at a peak in business expansion. None of that went away. It went on hold. So now, you know, we're looking for ways in our economy to restart the use of that money. And it's something that I think our government is trying to give a little bit more of a kickstart to or confidence level to and share a little bit of the burden to get businesses to start the cash flowing again.
And what's the main sort of like the main differentiator for ClearStar? I mean, given that you before pre-COVID, you were growing at twice the market rate, there must be something, there's some sort of secret sauce within the business that is obviously winning more market share. And you've obviously got some very good contract announcements only yesterday at the trading update.
Right.
What is behind the sort of the higher growth rate compared to your competitors? Why is ClearStar winning market share?
So the higher growth rate is going to be also part of the challenge. One of the things, and I think this is a keystone for us that we do quite well, is the customization of how we apply these services to the operational flow of a company, and the ability for us to modify how we deliver information and how that information is used in an actionable way by other systems that a company uses. So the challenge is, and for us restarting, to gain that volume during this time, is for us to also start to refill our developer ranks and our operational support ranks. It was obvious to us that we saw a decline in business. We took very aggressive actions to start to cut our operational costs, and that certainly cut into our ability to provide unique products or customization. So as businesses are demanding, we're also restaffing and figuring out what pieces that we need to bring to play to be able to facilitate the changes that these customers are going to want to make to win their business.
And then the sort of the sweet spots for sort of your traditional sweet spots for ClearStar being the gig economy, temporary staff, alcohol and drug testing, those secular trends which were there pre-COVID, once we're over this, the COVID pandemic, or certainly when we get into sort of 2021 and sort of some semblance of normality, are those secular growth trends of the gig economy and your sweet spots, your strengths, are they're still going to be in place?
Well, I think they're going to be in place. I think you're going to see businesses reshuffle. You're going to see some who are going to escalate, and some of those businesses are asking us to do more for them. And then you're going to see some that have challenges. Where we've been lucky is we laid a pretty good foundation to diversify our industry base. And we've been gaining a lot of traction right now in global businesses where we've had demand for financial services or blue chip companies outside of the United States that have been staffing over a period of time to fill slots as part of their expansion plan. And that really hasn't been slowing down that much. That's been growing quite significantly.
Okay, and then just shifting gears, the previous announcement, the company talked about the COVID-19 testing service for employers and employees. Right. Given the government position, can you just give us a bit more background on the sort of like what the position is with employers legally, and what's the sort of like the reason for the temporary pause before we can actually start delivering or shipping these test kits to customers?
Well, so we do updates to our customers, and they're available on our website on the changing conditions and what we see and what government regulations are. The COVID testing that we announced last month, that is, we've had several companies sign contracts for, just not placed orders, is having some challenges as far as the government trying to determine how those tests are going to be used. And as most governments do, we get a bit of vacillation in what their opinion is on any given day as to how they're to be used. And then the employer is starting to try to evaluate, you know, if they test, how frequently do they test? What are the requirements of testing? So there's a massive policy change for these companies who are trying to mitigate as much risk as possible in the safety of their environment, but also from a litigation standpoint, where they don't want to implement something that, you know, in the future would be considered to be inconsistent with a fair and unbiased work environment. So we're going through very quickly, after the solution was found, a new kind of thinking on how this should be applied, how a company should do it from a standard standpoint.
Okay, and then, I mean, again, sort of like looking at it from a sort of helicopter view, there's overwhelming medical evidence that we need track and trace and employee testing. And there's a lot of sort of clinical, very important clinical guys out in the States who are supporting the implementation of this. Mm. And obviously, there's a second wave being thought about in the autumn in the States, etc. My sort of gut feel would be we'd have to resolve this sometime over the summer, and sometime next week. What is your sort of view? And I know nobody will hold it to you because nobody knows. It isn't your decision. But given the urgency of a reopening the economy, and we've got a drop dead date of the potential second wave in the autumn, what is your sort of feel about when we're going to sort of reach a solution, a green light? Because we are really just talking about politics here rather than actually talking anything fundamental to get the COVID tests delivered to employees.
I think a watershed here is we're starting to see some progress in either medicines that show a level of prevention or cure. I think now that we have supposedly broken the ice on that, I was just reading on the announcement of a pretty widely available steroid, and we've got all kinds of motivation to come up with these drugs. I think the second wave is going to be more controllable. I don't think you're going to see businesses shut down. I think you're going to have compensatory measures in place. I think testing, to a certain extent, whether it is the type of blood testing that we're offering or the kind of saliva-based testing, that it takes a little bit longer, I think you're going to see that become commonplace. I think you're going to see consumers require it for people entering the home. Specifically homes of the elderly or people at risk. I think that's going to be a fair way to go about things. We can only work in a touchless environment in home maintenance and home delivery for so long, where it starts to impede the amount of business that any one company can do. So I think you're going to see a second wave, but I think you're going to see it mitigated by some of the drugs coming out, some of our ability to do testing, some of the restructuring of businesses and the way that they're going to conduct themselves.
Okay. And then really just finally getting over this sort of the COVID valley in terms of liquidity and funding for the company. I know in May, the business mentioned that it had sufficient liquidity, cash on hand to get through to the year. And given yesterday's positive statement that it's going to be better than we'd previously anticipated, what is your view on the liquidity for the rest of the year?
Yeah, as long as we run at our current levels reestablished over the last 2 months, we're very confident that we have liquidity running, through the end of the year, that we'll be fine. And we'll be able to, again, increase that revenue as the economy turns around. So we're pretty comfortable right now.
And included within the net debt of 1.5, which was talked about, I presume, is the 1.1 million payment protection loan that, in theory, that would convert.
That would be in addition to, not including, right?
Okay, yeah.
There's about one. There's almost 2 million in debt. To half of that would have been operational. Half of that would have been for equipment and technology that we invest in every 3 years. And then we had an additional 1.1 million in the payroll protection, which by all indications right now, we qualify to have that totally relieved. We would not be required to pay that back. It would be translated into a grant.
Okay, great. And then really, we just sort of like push the clock forward 2 to 3 years, and we've still got the secular trends of the gig economy, the USPs for ClearStyle, and we're over the COVID pandemic problems. How do you see the shape and the size and the margins of the business sort of like positioning, given that we've just, at the end of last year, say we did 14% like-for-like growth, we just move back into profitability, into EBITDA profitability. If we push the clock 2 to 3 years, how would you like to see the business? And again, we can't hold you because nobody knows, but how would you see the business shaping up in terms of sort of like, size and margins and positioning?
Well, it's a challenging point for us when we reached the end of 2019 is we were just starting to see the operational gearing go into play. Because we are a bespoke solution, and go in and solve workflow problems for companies, we must maintain a certain level of overhead and technology and support people. And as we were coming out of last year, we were starting to see that our OPEX, which had maintained flat for 3 or 4 years, was still projected to maintain flat, but our revenue was going up. Our pricing was staying about the same. As we were getting into larger clients, of course, we were having to make certain levels of concession with pricing and taking a bit of a cut in our gross margin. But we now know exactly where our tipping point is. We just tasted it. We experienced it. So we know moving into this year and next year exactly where we stand. Also, to the benefit, we've got a little bit more time. And we'll be able to actually refine our operational gearing now that we've experienced some of that volume and have experience with it. So I think you're going to see our overall margins go up, at least our EBITDA go up. You may not see our gross margin go up, but certainly our volume go up. And we are certainly in a position to handle much larger clients than we have in the past.
Particularly with a lower cost base. Fantastic. Okay. And I guess really, if I put my investor hat on, sort of like, and looking at the sort of the valuation, the business trades at sort of like a third of what its peers are. what is the sort of next news flow? Is there going to be a trading statement in July or over the summer?
I would say that is not unreasonable. It depends upon how things ferret out over the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks very much, Bob, and very much looking forward to hearing how the business develops over the next 3 or 4 months.
Thank you, Paul.